Welcome to Staging Shakespeare Online, where we'll consider the challenges of bringing Shakespeare to the stage and how actors and directors breathe life into his plays today. My name is Emily Hardegree, and I'm here with Eric Harrell, an experienced actor, director, and teacher in the theater department here at ACU. Eric has appeared in dozens of stage productions, including Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors, As You Like It, and The Merchant of Venice. In the fall, he will be directing Kiss Me, Kate, a popular musical adaptation of one of Shakespeare's other great comedies, Taming of the Shrew. I think you'll appreciate the energy and experience he brings to his work with the Bard, so let's go ahead and get started. As a playwright, what kind of following does Shakespeare have in theater today?
Shakespeare's the most widely produced playwright in the theater. There are entire professional theater companies that are devoted exclusively to the production of his work. And in fact, almost every major metropolitan city has some kind of Shakespeare producing company. Usually those are summer festivals, like what we have right here in Abilene with the Abilene Shakespeare Festival, which is produced every summer through our department here on campus.
Why is that?
Well, I think that obviously Shakespeare has a commercial following if that many theaters are producing his work. And I think the reason for that is that Shakespeare really has something to say to a contemporary audience. You know, people go to the theater obviously to be entertained. I mean, there are greater things that come out of going to the theater when you examine different social issues and cultural values. But basically you go to watch a good story, something that really pulls you in. And what Shakespeare does is that he crafts characters and stories which tap into some very universal human traits. I mean, when you go to see a Shakespeare play and you watch these characters and you see their passions and their drives and what's motivating them, you can see a bit of yourself in that. I mean, we all know what it's like to want to be loved or to be accepted or to want to get revenge or, you know, to have some adventure in your life. And those are what Shakespeare's characters are about. Along with that, there are certain challenges to that that I think we also kind of understand from a contemporary viewpoint. Even in Twelfth Night, some of us probably know what it's like not to have your affection returned or to have intruding family members or long-distance relationships or to live in restrictive environments. So those challenges that their characters face, we also can see a bit of ourselves in that. So it makes Shakespeare very relevant to our lives. And obviously he wraps those qualities in some very compelling storytelling as well.
So I guess what I'm wondering is why Shakespeare? Didn't his contemporaries do similar things in their writings? Why do theaters still produce his plays today as opposed to his contemporaries?
Well, obviously he did something a little different since we have so many festivals that are devoted just to his work. And I think probably what set Shakespeare apart was the fact that he was involved in more aspects of theater production than any of his contemporaries. He was a shareholder in the Lord Chamberlain's Men, which was one of the most popular acting companies of the day that produced most of his work. And because of that, he had a vested financial interest, so he had the motivating factor of writing works that would really sell to a broad section of the community rather than just kind of a tight little niche of the theater community. Had a real mass appeal to it. He was also an actor, and so he really understood what was going to work on the stage in a very practical way. But of course, it was his skills as a playwright, I think, that really did set him apart. I mean, the way that he was able to craft such compelling stories and main storylines and then all these subplots that kind of take their own path, and yet somehow at the end they all tie together in a really interesting way. I was thinking the other day, it's kind of like Seinfeld. I mean, when you watch an episode of Seinfeld, it starts and you have a couple of different plot lines going, and it's not till the last few minutes that they all kind of come together. So I don't know that I'm really comparing the writers of Seinfeld to Shakespeare, but it's something similar in the way that you take those different stories and bring them all together, tie them together at the end. And obviously his use of language, you know, the opening lines to Twelfth Night when Orsino says, "If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it, that surfeiting that appetite may sicken and so die." I mean, he could have just said, you know, "This girl really broke my heart, and I wish I could get over this." But instead, he says that. And so beyond just the specifics of information, the language kind of transcends and speaks on a different level, a whole different dimension. And then, of course, he crafts characters that really represent the whole of humanity. So again, it's a little more accessible. We can see a bit of ourselves in the stories that he tells.
So in Shakespeare's stage today, his plays are often updated to different settings, like the film version we watched of Twelfth Night, set in the late 19th century, or the modern setting for the Romeo and Juliet with Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Why do so many directors choose to update the setting?
Well, I think Shakespeare's texts really lend themselves to that kind of adaptation. Often the settings of his plays are fairly placeless. It's not that specific, or it's not that relevant to the story. And so it's interesting to begin moving it around and see how the story plays in different settings. Also, I think when you do that, it illustrates some of those universal themes and ideas to see how they play out in different settings. But also, as theater artists, we just really enjoy that. It's fun to look for those parallels between the text and different cultures and time periods. And also, when you have a limited body of work, and we have 38 plays, and as I was stating earlier, with as much production as they see, it's fun to keep mining them for fresh insights. I mean, you can go see Hamlet produced by five different companies and see five very different plays based on setting, obviously being one of those, but then that directorial vision and how the play is shaped.
So as a director, what are the primary differences between how Shakespeare is staged today and how it was staged in the Elizabethan era?
It's very different. Audience expectations are very different. Theater architecture is very different. I know as part of this unit, students have had an opportunity to kind of examine some of the architecture of Elizabethan theaters. And I really think that I describe it to my students as Elizabethan theater was really more like an athletic event, the way that we would participate in that today. This open-air space, audience members milling about, eating, drinking, leaning on the stage during performances, interacting with the actors. If there was something they didn't like, they would literally let you know it by, you know, shouting at the actors or throwing things on stage. You know, you hear about throwing tomatoes and vegetables and stuff. That really happened in this era, as it was very participatory. Today, when you go to the theater, it's a very different experience.
Etiquette.
Yes, theater etiquette's very different. Audience members sit in a darkened house, and we kind of pretend like the audience really isn't there, because realism is what's really in vogue in the theater today. So we like to pretend like we're a fly on the wall, just peering in, kind of looking through an imaginary fourth wall and watching the action. So the audience isn't as vocally or physically involved in the story. And they want to really be captivated and kind of swept along by the story in a different way.
Let's assume Twelfth Night is on the bill for this year's Shakespeare Festival here in Abilene. As a director, how would you approach the production?
I was just thinking a little while ago that I've seen three productions of Twelfth Night in the last probably 4 or 5 years, and each of those have been so different from the other. And I think that's because there's so much in Twelfth Night that a director can really shape the piece in some specific ways by what they choose to emphasize. I think what I primarily see other directors do is emphasize a lot of the broad comedy over some of the more maybe delicate melancholy that's in the script. And if I were going to direct the piece, I think I would really want to try to find the balance between both of those. I was reading online a quote the other day from Sir John Gielgud, who directed a production of Twelfth Night with Sir Laurence Olivier as Malvolio and Vivian Leigh as Viola. And he said this. He was talking about trying to achieve that balance. And he said, "It's so difficult to combine the romance of the play with the cruelty of the jokes against Malvolio. Jokes which are in any case archaic and difficult, the different elements of this play are hard to balance properly." And I think he really articulated well what I would see as a primary challenge as a director, which is trying to bring both of those things into play so that you don't just have a comedy, but you really get to see some really layered and detailed characters. I mean, how do you justify Sir Toby, you know, with a Malvolio and what he's going through and the romance and the comedy? And I'd want to somehow stage the play allowing those characters to have all of those contradictions in play.
As an actor, how do you prepare for a Shakespearean role?
Well, the basics of acting, whether you were playing Shakespeare or performing a contemporary text, are pretty much the same, though Shakespeare has some added challenges, primarily with the language. But the first thing actors always ask themselves is, what does this character want? What is really motivating them? And we break a text down scene by scene, and within scenes we'll break them down even into smaller units of action and really try to understand what the essence of that character is about. Some of those earlier ideas that I was talking about and those universal human traits of what they want and what they desire moment by moment in the play. And then beyond that, we began to look at how to express that. And with Shakespeare, you get the challenge of heightened language and trying to speak in blank verse. So there may be some analysis that has to happen to really understand the language and make sure that as an actor, you're not just speaking, you know, bloated, puffed up language, but that it really is what you, those words are what you are embracing to express yourself. So there are a lot of ways that we do that. One of the exercises that I think works best for actors when they're performing Shakespeare is an exercise called In Your Own Words, which is basically just what it sounds like. As a director or an acting coach, I would have actors change from speaking the text to improvising in their own language, line by line, what it is they think their character is saying, and then go back and pick up the language so that they really make it their own, kind of coin the language.
So more specifically, like if you were playing a character like Malvolio, mm-hmm. how would you approach that?
Well, you know, Malvolio is kind of tricky. He's kind of like Shylock in Merchant of Venice or Richard III, one of these characters that could be fairly two-dimensional, and you could sort of write him off. He's not someone you'd care about all that much, but I think you really miss a great piece of the play if you do that. I mean, when he's imprisoned, I think we should all kind of feel sorry for him. And so one of the challenges if I were playing Malvolio would be, how do I make this character sympathetic? And to do that, he has to really be a human being. You have to believe that he isn't just a stereotype, but that this is a guy with religious conviction, and that's something that I can understand. You know, I have religious conviction in my life, so I begin to draw from some of those personal similarities that I have, so that I portrayed Malvolio in such a way that you really did believe that he was a human being, however misguided you may think he is, so that when he is treated, you know, pretty rough there in the play, you do feel for him on some level. And so I would look at other things in the play, his history and maybe how long he's been pining away for, you know, for Olivia, and how I could bring that to light in some of the early scenes so that it makes a little more sense at the end. Also looking at his journey as a character. I mean, what happens to him at the end when he exits the play saying, "I'll be revenged on the whole pack of you"? Has he had a change, or is he going to go and kind of be the same character that he's been before? Look at some of those questions, maybe.
Okay, so here's my last question. Why is Twelfth Night one of the most widely produced Shakespearean comedies in a theater today?
I think it's because Twelfth Night really has a little bit of everything. I mean, there's something in Twelfth Night for everyone. There's suspense and mistaken identities. There's a love triangle. You get to see royalty and the common man at the same time. You get that whole range of characters. You know, there's combat and there's funny characters. There's beautiful characters. There's passion. It's really got something in it for everyone. And also the music in the play. I think that's, you know, the recurring music also adds another level of appeal for an audience as well. And, you know, top of the list, I think it's just a lot of fun to watch.
Thanks for talking with me today.
You bet. I'm glad to do it.